My dearly beloved in Christ, it is certainly sad to see the hypocrisy and the blindness of the Pharisees. And on the other hand, we see our Lord condescending to accept an invitation by one of the Pharisees. It says in the gospel, a ruler of the Pharisees, who asked our Lord to dine in his house. And our Lord was there, and there were all these other Pharisees, and it says they watched him. And why did they watch him? No doubt, at least on the part of many of them, to try to find something in his behavior that they could use against him. Well, then a man came in who had the dropsy. We don't use that term anymore, but it just means that retention of fluids, especially in the extremities and the legs and the feet, swelling up for various reasons. And our Lord cured this man. And they're thinking he's breaking the Sabbath. He's curing on the Sabbath. And our Lord said to them, which of you will have an ass or an ox fall into a pit on the Sabbath day and will not immediately draw him out? And it says they could give him no answer because they had to admit the perfect logic of our Lord, that they would do far more than just using a word to cure a man on the Sabbath. But what was the problem with these Pharisees that were so blind? It was their pride. Now we might say their envy, another of the seven capital sins. They envied our Lord, and that is true. But it begins with pride. Pride is the root of all sin. Pride is at the bottom, at the foundation of all sin. And unless we conquer our pride, and we first of all have to recognize it, but unless we overcome it, it will lead us down spiritually and lead to many other sins. Listen to a few words from a spiritual book on pride. Pride is the inordinate desire to excel. It springs from inordinate self-love. And a proud man, considering what he has and what he is capable of doing, conceives an exaggerated idea of his own importance, attainments, and merits. He wants to manifest his qualities to others, to domineer over them, to avenge himself for supposed slights, to despise others, to forget that all he has is from God and belongs to God, to take the first place as of right, to be, in fact, a world in and of himself. Consummate pride is such desire to excel as to refuse to be subject even to God. Such a sin, of course, is rare and would be always a mortal sin, because it is a complete aversion from God and a repudiation of his right of dominion over us. A lesser degree of pride is the desire to excel so as to disregard those in legitimate authority and to exalt oneself over others unduly. Now, pride leads to various things: vanity, vaingloriousness, presumptuousness, ambition. And we have to be, again, on our guard because it is subtle. And a proud man fails to admit and acknowledge his own pride. Pride is a failure to give to God the credit for the good that we do. A proud man exaggerates in his own mind his good qualities, but he also fails to give the credit to Almighty God. So we cannot overestimate the danger of pride and how many souls pride has led to perdition. And notice that our Lord gives a lesson, and he says, when you are invited to a wedding feast, don't sit in the first place, lest a more important, more prominent person come, and you're told to give way to make room for that person. And then you begin, our Lord says, with shame to take the last place. But rather sit at the last place, that when he who invited you comes and sees you, he may say, move up higher, go to a higher place. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and he who humbles himself shall be exalted. So pride, again, is a terrible evil, and it leads to many sins. One of the things that even leads to is an unwillingness to amend, to recognize one's own need for amendment. And I would like to, in that regard, read a short section here from another book on amendment of life. And in particular, the author here mentions the conversion of the good thief on the cross. And there will be those who say, well, this good thief was converted at the last hour, and I hope to be converted too in my last hour. And how foolish it would be to put off amendment of life, to put off change to an uncertain future. We know not if we will even have tomorrow or if we will have that opportunity. So again, listen to these words. The Holy Ghost says to us in the book of Ecclesiasticus, delay not to be converted to the Lord and defer it not from day to day. It is a bad thing to say, I quite feel that I am not what I ought to be. I do not wish to die in my present state. Later on, I will reform my life. And until when will you defer it? Asks St. Augustine. Why tomorrow? Why not this very day reform your life? Do we forget that tomorrow is uncertain and that it is folly to risk our salvation upon a perhaps and to abandon our eternity to chance? How is it we do not understand that it is unworthy to make use of the goodness of God as a pretext to delay our conversion, alleging that he is too good not to wait for us, as though his goodness and mercy ought not, on the contrary, to be a powerful reason for advancing our penitence rather than delaying it. We imagine that we imagine that later on our conversion will be easier, as if, on the contrary, our delays did not render it more difficult by weakening grace, strengthening habits, hardening our hearts, and irritating God against us. At other times, we imagine that our conversion is incompatible with our present affairs and our employments, as though the business of our salvation were not the first and most important of all that we can do. And as if there were any other employments wherein salvation is impossible. Lastly, the devil tries to make us believe that at the hour of death we shall imitate the good thief, as though we could count upon our Lord renewing that miracle for us, a miracle which, according to St. Bernard, is the only one related in all of scriptures where a man was converted on his deathbed. And St. Bernard says, there was one sole man that was thus saved at the last moment, that you may not despair, and there was only one that you may not trust to it, and presume that the same would be granted to you. So let us be wary of our pride that leads us to put off conversion or our laxity, whatever is the cause. And we should ask ourselves this question: if I were to die right now, where would my soul go? Now, it is true, we have no absolute certainty. We may believe, I am in the state of sanctifying grace, I'm striving to serve God and obey his commandments. And we can never have an absolute certainty, because someone could deceive himself. But we can have what theologians would say is a moral certainty. Our conscience, does it accuse us of a serious sin that we need to confess? And so again, ask yourself that question. Am I ready? If God were to call me today, am I ready to face him? And if not, why delay repairing that problem? Rather, on the other hand, convert now. Don't delay to an uncertain future. Humble yourself. As our Lord says in the gospel, the humble shall be exalted. Humble yourself to acknowledge your need for repentance, for conversion, for amendment of life, something we always need every day, and to prepare so that at whatever hour God may call us, we will be ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.